The Old Testament reading this morning is from Leviticus 18, 1 through 5, and 19, 9 through 18. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel, and say to them, I am the Lord your God. You shall not do as they do in the land of Egypt, where you lived, and you shall not do as they do in the land of Canaan, to which I am bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes. You shall follow my rules and keep my statutes and walk in them. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my rules. If a person does them, he shall live by them. I am the Lord. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge. Neither shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest, and you shall not strip your vineyard bare. Neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely. You shall not lie to one another. You shall not swear by my name falsely, and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not oppress your neighbor or rob him. The wages of a hired worker shall not remain with you all night until the morning. You shall not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall do no injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great, but in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Colossians 1, verses 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all the power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Luke. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put Jesus to the test, saying, "Teacher, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
It has been almost a year since I've been in this position. And wow, this year has gone by so fast. And my thanks to Pastor Brubaker for inviting me to fill in for him this Sunday. It's a pleasure to be here this morning. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So last week when I read over the lessons for today and saw that the gospel reading was about the parable of the Good Samaritan, I thought right away about an 82-year-old friend of mine. Let's just say his name is Bob. And the Good Samaritan parable reminded me about Bob. In fact, recently Bob told me about a little story that had happened to him recently in his life. I'll share with you this morning. One day, Bob drove up to a McDonald's drive-thru, and it had been a long time since he had been at one of these places. And the menu board, you know, for my 82-year-old friend, since he hadn't been there in such a long time, looked completely overwhelming. And he's trying to figure out what in the world to order out of all these options. And, you know, he took a little bit longer than the ordinary person would have taken, and so the person that was in line behind him started honking their horn. And they actually leaned out of the window and said some rather unkind things to my friend Bob. And of course, that just made him all the more nervous, slowed him down all the much more. And so Bob said, just finally out of exasperation, he just ordered something, didn't really care what, just so he could get out of that situation because he felt his heart rate increasing, his blood pressure going up. And so he moves to the first window. And he collects himself, and he tells the person on the inside, the cashier, he says, "I'd like to pay for my meal and also for the meal of the person behind me." Now that sounds just exactly like my friend Bob. Because he would give the shirt off of his back for anybody. He would do anything he possibly could out of his generosity. And so you can see why the parable about the Good Samaritan reminded me of my 82-year-old friend Bob. they both share some similarities. For one thing, both of them helped someone who was out of their comfort zone. In Bob's case, it was a complete stranger who had been quite rude to him. And the Good Samaritan, of course, was a most unlikely helper to the Jewish man who had been beaten and robbed. Because the Jews and the Samaritans had been at enmity with each other for at least 7 centuries. It went all the way back into the time of the Old Testament when the Assyrians conquered the northern 10 tribes, 721 BC. And they took out all of the survivors, practically, and in their place they brought people from all over their known empire to settle there. And so the people then that were their descendants were really not true-blooded Jewish people. And the Jews of Judah despised them. So there was enmity between Jew and Samaritan. Well, the actions of both my friend Bob and the Good Samaritan cost them something. In Bob's case, it wasn't so much. A little time, a little inconvenience, and lunch money for another person. Not really to compare with what it cost the Good Samaritan. Think of all of the time that he took to care for someone that was practically on the verge of death. Time, money. We would say that what both of those individuals did, my friend Bob and the Good Samaritan, was difficult. Bob, with his heart pounding, his blood pressure rising, decided to buy lunch for someone who had not been very nice to him at all. Well, that kind of pales in comparison, I suppose, to what the Good Samaritan did. He helped someone who was a natural enemy, I suppose. He took upon himself great danger. He didn't know if the robbers would still be in the vicinity of where this man was lying. But he overcame whatever fear he might have had to go and help someone who needed his help. A little sidebar. I was really touched this last week when I read in an email provided by Christina the article by Joseph and Irene McIntosh's pastor's son about the work of those first responders and the danger that they go into, and thank God for those individuals. Okay, well, back to my friend Bob. So at the first window, Bob said, "I want to pay for my meal and the meal for the person behind me." He goes up to the second window, and Bob said, "You know, I don't know what came over me. But I said to the person at the second window, I want my meal that I paid for. And I also want the meal that I also paid for the person behind me. I want to take both meals with me." Well, the person on the inside was a little shocked. But Bob said before he knew it, he was driving away and he had both lunches in his car. What happened to Bob? Here, that person behind him now was going to have to start all over again at the back of the queue. And there goes Bob. Well, do you think Bob is a good example of the Good Samaritan now? You know, St. Paul in Romans chapter 7 wrote, "The good that I would, I do not do. The evil that I would not do, That's what I do. Early on in our worship service, we made confession of sins, and we said we were in what to sin? We are in bondage. Bondage. We cannot free ourselves. That's what happened to Bob. It's not just a matter of the sins that we commit or the good that we fail to do. We have a condition from which we cannot escape. We are sinners. There is a phrase in the Lutheran Confessions that describes it as incurvatus se, one of the few Latin phrases that I remember, to be curved inward on ourselves, describes us by our human nature. It's like that's when we are on automatic pilot. You know? We don't have to think about being selfish. We don't have to plan to be selfish. We just plain are. And even when we set out to do something wonderful, it's like somebody flips a switch and we're caught up in it once again. When we act according to our sinful nature, it's like we are on automatic pilot. And if we are to obey God's commands, we need to override that automatic pilot. You know, God gave us many commands, as was referenced in our children's message this morning. Our first reading for today from Leviticus comes from what is known as the holiness codes of the Old Testament. I think it's from about Leviticus chapter 19 to about chapter 27. And it's all of these laws and commands that put into practice the Ten Commandments and apply the Ten Commandments to everyday living situations of the Israelites at that time. And the reason it's called the Holiness Code is because so many times, over and over, the phrase is repeated that says, "You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." Some people say that those Old Testament laws don't apply to us New Testament people anymore. Well, some of them don't. Like the laws and commands that pertain to the rituals, the sacrifices, and that sort of thing having to do with worship. And occasionally we run across a command that sounds very strange to us, like if it had the rest of verse 19 in our reading today, it would say, "Don't wear clothing woven from two kinds of cloth." We don't know what in the world that had to do with, and it doesn't apply to us. Some people say, "Well, didn't Jesus set us completely free from all the laws?" No, he didn't. And when you read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you discover that Jesus actually gave many commands, particularly in the Sermon on the Mount. Love your enemies. Do not worry. Do not judge. Many, many commands that Jesus gave to us. In fact, some people might be surprised to find out that the last verse from our Old Testament reading this morning forms the core and the heart of the teaching of Jesus the Christ. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the other part of that commandment is you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And those are not actually two separate commands, but one. It's impossible for us to love God without also going by way of the neighbor. If we think we can avoid our neighbor and still love God, we're wrong. Can't be done. I was a little perplexed when I first read some years ago St. Augustine, one of the early church fathers that was a great influence upon Martin Luther, who said that the double love commandment is the essence of the gospel. And I scratched my head. I thought, well, no, that can't be right. The essence of the gospel is that God sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us sinners who are incapable of saving ourselves. And that's true. But what St. Augustine said about the double love commandment being the essence of the gospel is also true. Understood this way. You know, the reason why God gave us laws and commands is for the purpose of love. Love is the summary of the first table of the law. Love is the summary of the second table of the law. Love is not some free-floating desire out there somewhere. But the laws and the commandments that God gave us give structure and provide direction for the love that we are to direct. This may be the most important thing I'll say this morning. Our obedience to the commands and the laws of God, and I especially include the double love commandment, our obedience to that does not effect our salvation. It does not bring it about, but it reflects our salvation. It's the fruit of being saved. And also, we know that we fail many times to live as God commands. God uses our failures to drive us to the gospel and make us aware of our need for Jesus the Christ, the sinless Son of God. So, as Christians, we live in this tension between striving to obey God's commands and to live a life worthy of our calling on the one hand, and on the other hand, realizing that none of what we do earns God's love and favor. He loves us. So I'll say it again. Our obedience to God's laws and commands does not bring about or effect our salvation, but our obedience does reflect it. Okay, I see I'm getting close to the end of my time, so I got to get back to Bob here. One more thing. Bob is 82. He's 5 years older than me. I find myself thinking about my own passing from this life to the next more than I used to. I don't think that's morbid. I just think it's realistic. And I kind of think because Bob is 5 years older than me and is not in the best of health that he's going to pass from this life before me. But I don't know. Bob could live to be 102. But I do know this. I know that when Bob does pass from this life and he finds himself in front of heaven's gate, and God, if God were to come out and ask him, Bob, why should I let you into my heaven? Bob is not going to say, he is not going to say something like, well, I was a pretty good Samaritan. In fact, there was this time. No. Bob is going to say, you should let me into your heaven because of Jesus' blood and righteousness that I claim. Have mercy on me, O God, through Jesus, your Son. And, you know, during his lifetime, Bob has memorized a lot of passages from Scripture and a lot of Christian hymns. And it wouldn't surprise me if Bob, in his reply to God's question, would use a hymn like this one. Chief of sinners though I be, Jesus shed his blood for me, died that I might live on high, lives that I might never die, as the branch, and here you can say it with me, as the branch is to the vine, I am his and he is mine. And because that is true, be a neighbor to any and all who are in need. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord.